How do you like me now? Welcome to the podcast that always takes it there. I am your host, T, from the infamous tblog.com, and now I reside here on the T podcast to entertain all of you. Some say I have a way with words. Some call me the Tom Brady of blogging, the Conor McGregor of podcasting, the white fucking Tupac of screenwriting, the king of the bean, aka Boston, Massachusetts, the man who is always, always on his grown man shit. Thank you for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. Now let me do what I do here, and that is to entertain the shit out of all of you. Today is May 9th, 2019. That's right. Thursday, May 9th, 2019. It's a week after the Kentucky Derby, a week after the fourth episode of Game of Thrones has aired. After you've already hopefully listened to my podcast about side pieces with B-Lo, and we go on and on about Game of Thrones. Maybe you listened a little bit the other day about my take on fanboys, the origin of fanboys to where they exist now. Gone into a little bit about my little buddy, Tigger, the tiger cat. That's right. Today, I went back into the archives of T-Blog, and I went back and I looked at all my T-episodes. Again, tblog.com, T-B-L-A-W-G, the A-W for the Boston accent. Go there. It started as a blog. It became a blueprint, a life blueprint for mine. It became volumes after volumes. I was sharing that out. Wisdom came with age and mistakes and lessons learned and learning and all my fucking errors. Me falling flat on my face. Me picking myself back up over and over again. 400 volumes after volumes after volumes. 9 years of my life recorded there. A lot of it turned me into the man I am today. It gave me the fodder to turn this podcast over to all of you from the original website. So I went in and I wrote about women. Not just talk about my dating and my adventures and my relationships that did work, did not work, what worked on that, how I got where I needed to get. I looked at the woodwife pics. Again, hashtag woodwife. That came from me. It exists. It's documented. It's out there. And always looked at what I fell for, like my certain type, right? I was doing that. And a lady friend who started to read a lot of my scripts read one that I wrote about my dating adventures. So the proper chronological order of everything T blog, everything the T podcast, everything with my screenwriting career, I sat back in 2003 and decided to write my first script that was a raunchy comedy that's way out there. I eventually tried to turn it into a TV show treatment as opposed to a movie. But I started with that, and then I got into an animated movie I wrote for my nieces at the time. Then I got into capturing my dating adventures. That script was based off me in my 20s and how I dated and the mistakes that I made, but my rating system. Every guy, we all have a universal rating system. It's like a number system. What would we rate the girl? Physically, the whole package, we did that. I captured that really well in my script. So I have that, and in that script, I turn everything into something funny of all, at that time, my hookups, my one-night stands, my short-term relationships, the few and far in between long-term relationships, but also the woman I dated hooked up with at work. And I made a character called Tommy, based off of me, T. And I brought in my real-life friends, and I told one hell of a fucking story. A comedy that had a lot of people interested, including MTV at the time. And I was close. I was close to actually getting a deal, and it almost went through. And with that, I knew I had something, right? Again, I'm not trying to be egotistical in any way, but I knew I could write. I knew I could tell a story. Like I said, I'm probably a better storyteller, whether I tell it verbally, vocally, or the written word. I could tell a fucking story. Structure, whether it was the blog or the scripts or even here from the podcast, I struggle with that. I follow the three-act structure for my scripts. I didn't follow any type of structure for the blog. I wanted to one and done it, one take it. Same here. I want to do very little editing. Sometimes you hear some raw stuff. Sometimes you hear me stumble over my words. Sometimes you hear some mistakes. You hear background noise. I know a lot of people come at it, and I could take the time to clean up the podcast and make those edits, but I don't want to. I want everything that I give to the world, whether you and I sitting down having a conversation at a bar, you and I talking in my office at work, you were in my house hanging out with me, we're at a Pats game, any place that you get to know me, I am very honest, I'm very raw, I'm educated, but I get to the point, I'm very compassionate, And I wanted to treat my writing styles like that. I really couldn't do that with the scripts because the scripts, you have to follow a certain structure in order for Hollywood and the producers and directors and whoever, the studios, to put some money behind it to make an actual movie. The blog was just blogging. Of course, I went back in and I just did, when I was done writing, I just do a spell check. I don't want to look like an idiot and have typos, but that's about it. I didn't rewrite it. I tried to treat it like a script with a three-act structure. I did an introduction. I did a middle, which was the conflict or the big buck in the big bulk of the story, the meat of the soup, if you will. And then I closed it out with a conclusion. There was a plot point introduced where I figure out, will I come to a solve? Every T-episode had, did I learn a lesson or not? And pretty much every one of the 400 they did, and they'll list the side, the occasional wood wife, occasional bro code and grown man shit aside. I think about a good, 250 to 300 of them, I learned a lesson. And I share that. And same thing here. I come here and I want to approach the podcast the same way. If I'm shooting the shit with B-Lo over Snap or text or in person, I want you guys to feel that as we do that. Two guys shooting the shit, being very honest, but able to entertain you. Same when we bring Habibi into the mix. He's another one that I'm pretty honest with. He's honest with me. We shoot the shit. We're ball busters. I want that to come across. And eventually I stop bringing guests in, and you'll see how I talk to those people as well. But when back to the original point of this podcast, is T-Blog all started because it was a spin-off of my script that started with me and my dating. And I knew I had something to continue. I still held on to that script. It's still registered with the Writers Guild. I want to pitch that, continue to pitch it. Maybe I go back one day and rewrite it. Right now, I know not to pitch full script. So maybe I just condense it back into a treatment. And if anybody says, hey, T, we want to pay you the minimum of the Writers Guild of $250,000 for a first full draft, I already have that full draft in the can. So that's what I did with that. But I knew I had something in T-Blog because everybody's like, hey, look, we're not reading your scripts. So we don't read enough from you or the people that did. It's like, you live a crazy fucking life. You live life by your own rules. You had a fucked up childhood. You do some crazy shit. You travel the world. You go by the beat of your own drum. So I did T-Blog. And then T-Blog now became the podcast. But one thing I've always had with the dating, the woodwives, I've always had a certain type. Now, ladies, don't get offended by this rating system. We all rate each other, right? We all do that. You go to your girlfriends, you probably screenshot, you text with the guy you're dating or the guy you like, and you judge him off of that. You get your girl's opinions. We all do that. Guys, yes, we are absolutely more superficial. Doesn't matter if you're in your teens, your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s. Guys look at the physical first. Some women, not all, very, very few, with age want more a intellectual connection, an emotional connection, a spiritual connection. They want to know that that guy is confident, funny, has a good career, will be there for them, would be a good husband, would be a good father one day, could be a provider, even though it's 2019, that's some of the things that are put onto men's shoulders, even in this day and age. But we do, up front, men look at women and they go for a certain type. Now, I can sit and tell you what my type has always been. I've kind of went against that, dated against that as I get a little older. But if you had to ask me right now to physically, and I'm only talking physical here, to describe my perfect woman, I would say exotic looking, short, curvy fit, dark hair, light eyes, blue or green, smart, a bit of a wise ass, and educated, has done something in her life, has seen some things, and isn't too spoiled and can do for her own. And when we're together, she's happy on her own, I'm happy on my own, but when we're together, we make each other happier. By making you happy, I become happier and vice versa. That would be the ideal package, the ideal situation, the perfect woman out there for me. Does that exist? 41 and a half years on this planet, that does not exist. The perfect woman for any man does not exist. You find someone that you find the imperfections and what you think is perfect about them. Their imperfections are so much imperfect that you find them perfect for you. Their craziness, their crazy matches your asshole in you as men, and that just falls into place. You could tolerate their level of crazy. You find a crazy you could handle. They could find a asshole in you because we're all assholes and they're all crazy, and that shit just works. I've been in different levels close to that here and there. Age aside, whether someone was just hooking up with or dating, there have been connections at all different levels with women. I've had a lot of that physical. I've had a lot of the personal, emotional, intellectual. It's out there. But to get there for a guy, the first thing you see is the physical. Like I just said, I described her. I started off with the physical, right? And that's a 1 through 10 system. And in my script, my romantic comedy, my datings, I used to use the terminology, she's a Boston 8, a Los Angeles 10, a Los Angeles 7. There were different levels. There was a Miami 5. Miami 5 could be a Boston 8. I mean, Miami 5 could be an LA 7. Where you are by climate, where you are by city, by popularity, what they look like, and even NYC and London throw in the fashion, there was a number scale. Classic 1 through 10, but sometimes the scale got tipped depending on where you were, where you lived, what that woman did for a living, you know, what her age was, and then you start throwing that stuff, you find out about them. As you get older, that physical number, great, yeah, she's physically a 10. Mentally, she's a 5. Intellectually, she's a 3. You know, that shit changes the number. That 10 went down to a 6, 6.5. And again, I'm not being superficial. I'm just going on the whole package now. Same way where you see me. And there's some guys out there you want that have to fit the dynamic of they have to be 6'2". They have to have a fucking beard. They have to be jacked. They have to be confident and funny. They have to have a chiseled chin. They have to have the Ben Affleck ass fucking chin. I don't know. These are things that you look for. Don't give me that shit. You do. But again, I think as women get older, they have no problem more looking for the intelligence and the compatibility factor on top of the confidence and the way to make them laugh, to make them feel comfortable. That outweighs the looks. You know, looks, Bilo and I have spoken about this several times in the podcast. Looks don't matter as much as you get older. Why? Because maybe looks start to fade, but you look for things differently. Because I know women my age now, late 30s, early 40s, that physically is still 9s and 10s. But as much as that is happening, I got to see what goes on the inside. They said there's an average age of what men look for, men in their early 40s, and they still say the 23-year-old girl physically is the most physically perfect-looking woman. I think that's in their physical prime. Again, I could take a 23-year-old, and she could have the hot factor, but she could be dumb as shit. We have nothing in common because of the age gap. She could suck in bed. She hasn't done anything. She's spoiled. She still drives around the car that daddy bought her. I don't know. There's a lot of things that factor into that. So physically, yeah, a 23-year-old woman is probably ideally the most beautiful. But she's not going to know the things that a 35-year-old woman knows. She's not going to have the education life experience that a 40-year-old woman knows. You know, that's the stuff that you put in. But there is a skill. Don't get twisted. Don't think that there isn't a skill. We're always going to sit there and be like, yeah, it's in my head. Whether we say that to a friend or say it out loud, we're judgy. And not just by judging these people, it's just basically what you're judging them on. What is that skill for? Well, who gives a fuck if you're a strange woman walking down the street and some guy you're never going to see again thinks you're a fucking 10? For me, to meet you and get to know you and want to date you, and the same for you, you have to have the same thing for me. Where do I fall into your skill? Do you think I'm physically a 10? Do you think I'm financially a 7? Do you think I'm intellectually a fucking 2? You know, am I compatible? Like, that is how it exists. But my script, I had that in there, and I was throwing that out like 10s back in the day where I used to be able to sit here and say, wow, you know, I never thought that I would get a supermodel. I know my limitations. I know how good-looking I am or how good-looking I'm not. I know how funny I am or how funny I'm not. I know how financially successful and stable I am and how financially unsuccessful and unstable I am. I know all that about myself. To sit there and meet someone and casually date them or get into a little something more serious and you bring the sex in, you meet the friends and the family. As you do that, I guarantee your rating scale goes up or down. And I think where breakups happen is that somehow, some way along there, the compatibility scale, where you can find somebody not as physically attractive because they hurt you, or you find something about them that they didn't like. Like for me, a lot of relationships, when I went into it, like if the girl was a physically a 7, but mentally a 7, intellectually a 7, emotionally a 7, and you know, the stability of it all and her relationships a 7, as we dated, that she could go up to a 10 across the board. Or if it wasn't working out, she could come down to a fucking 3. And I probably have gone up and down on many scales for many a woman in my time, because I've been dating a very long time. I've been in a lot of relationships. I have been on several fucking dates. So I sit here with the name of this podcast as The Skill, because the skill does exist. Now, do we all want a 10? Yes. Not saying just the physical 10. I'm saying that when you find that balance, regardless of the number, whether it's 1 through 10, that average where they come into play of across the board, physically, sexually. And I've seen women out there that it's crazy as I get older, that as beautiful as they are, maybe they're beautiful, maybe their physical beauty is a 10, but they're not sexy, right? Some of you guys out there, fellas, you know what I'm talking about. There are women out there who are so beautiful, but they have no sex appeal. There's nothing sexy about them. It's all physical, right? They're great to look at. It's like looking at the fucking sun. You can't look at them for too long, otherwise you're going to burn your motherfucking retinas. But that's all they are. That's all they have to offer. There's no sexiness, no sex appeal. The sex appeal comes in with the way a woman walks, the way she dresses, the way she carries herself, the confidence, right? You got to have sex appeal. The intelligence factors into that too. I want a woman that is both has common sense, street smarts, book smarts, knows how to handle a situation, not that she just knows, like, you know, the answer to something because she watched the fucking History Channel or she watches a documentary on Netflix. I want that knowledge in there because knowing something is fine. You could state a fact, you know, you could state the date of the Civil War, but do you have an opinion on the Civil War? You know what I mean? Like, that comes along with life, learning. Somebody could say, like, yeah, the Eiffel Tower is in Paris, but have you ever been to Paris? Do you know what it looks like on that second level or when you get to the top of the summit? Do you know the views of the different angles? Have you ever seen the Seine River from, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon to see what that shine is like? You know, that I could do. That I could say. And just like Goodwill Hunting, I could tell you what it's like to go inside the Sistine Chapel. You know, as much as I joke around that my mother and I got in trouble, I was taking pictures. But just like Robin Williams says to Matt Damon in Goodwill Hunting, have you ever looked up at that? Have you ever looked up at that ceiling to know what it smells like in there? That feeling of the art, to see a masterpiece up in that sky like that, in such a holy ground, in the Vatican. I could talk to that. I know what it smells like in the Sistine Chapel. And maybe to somebody who, you know, sits there and says, oh, this guy, oh, he must have money because he travels the world. He's a douchebag. All he's about is money and passport stamps. But a woman that wants to sit there and say, T, what does it smell like in the Sistine Chapel? What does it look like looking off the top of the summit of the Eiffel Tower? You know, it's like that comes along with that. And maybe my numbers go up. Maybe I went from a 7 to a 9. I don't know. But these are the things that come with age where I could sit there and say, yeah, my physical 10s, my LA 10s, my Boston 8s aren't that scale anymore. But we do have a scale. You need that scale because it brings balance not only to what you're looking for, but a balance to yourself. Maybe I want to match up my 7 to your 7, regardless of what that is. Like right now, as much as I try to get to the gym every day, I'm getting older. I can't do the things that I used to do in the gym. I can't look the way I used to look, and that's fine. But maybe there's a girl out there who also has somebody to do their meal prep like me, also gets to the gym, but they're okay if they have a little cellulite on their ass or a little jiggle. I'm never going to have a six-pack. Never did. And I want to be able to say, wow, it's cool that she and I are doing this and we're hanging out and we both have a bunch of errands to run on a Saturday and maybe she has a little jiggle in the ass and maybe I have a little jiggle in the belly, but we make each other laugh and when we're together, we don't worry about work, our careers, or think about anyone else. In my mind, and hopefully in her mind, if we're connecting like that, fuck, we're a couple of tens, you know? To everybody else on the outside looking in, maybe we're fucking sixes or sevens. I don't know. That's the point I'm making to this whole scale. And I'm pretty sure a lot of you guys out there where I've had friends come to me, you know, they've been with their wives for a long time, and they were knockouts physically in their teens and 20s, and obviously a lot of them are still beautiful women. Some of my friends obviously still find their wives physically attractive, but until they put out that first baby, where a lot of guys may think, like, you know, me, I don't have a pregnant wife, that, oh, no, she got fat, she got disgusting, she got pregnant, that's gross. To a lot of guys, that's the most beautiful she's ever looked because she loved him enough to have their baby together. She's carrying their baby. And to that, that glow, and, you know, they've said it, they've seen it, you know, she's not physically the knockout 24-year-old 10 anymore, the 23-year-old 10, but she's probably more attractive to him because he probably loves her more at that point than he ever did when he was a dumb son of a bitch in his 20s because that is the mother of his children. Guarantee that score went up or it stayed up, you know? On the same end, maybe after the children a few years later, they're not as compatible. They disagree over the kids. They're stressing the marriage. Maybe the number comes down. I don't know. But the skill is very important to at least get going off the ground, to meet someone and say, hey, maybe I don't need a physical 10. Maybe she's a 7.5, but everything else that we meet on, that I'm looking for, that we connect on, that number, her number is just perfect enough for me. And some other person may think or judge them on that. You know, I don't know why so-and-so is with that girl or why so-and-so is with that guy. Have you ever noticed that where you see out there, like, you see the most beautiful woman? And my buddies and I always joke around this, and there's always, like, not all of them, but some of them have that, like, that goofy boyfriend. Like, how the fuck did a guy like that get a girl like that? And all we're going off of is what she looks like. That guy could be the nicest, kindest, sweetest, funniest, thought-provoking son of a bitch to walk the fucking planet. The same way, even though we're putting her in a 10, we're judging that motherfucker. We're like, yo, he's a 2. What's he doing with a 10? Over here, we're like, yeah, she should be with me. Like, you automatically assume you're a 10. Like, a 10 should be with a 10. You know, I'm very confident in my own. I'm not cocky, even though sometimes I sound like I am. I'm not a fucking 10. But hopefully I'm someone's 10. And hopefully someone's 10 that I may be for them, that there's my 10 out there. And believe me, like I said, I've been up and down that scale, and I watch women in front of my own eyes go up and down that scale because of what they meant to me. There's something to be said for a girl that maybe I didn't want to date. I was iffy about going on the date because I was just going off of what they look like, or maybe we didn't have much in common. And then I sit in front of them, and we're just connecting, and we're vibing, and she's talking about things that I never gave a shit about. But because she's so passionate about it, she got me interested, and that drew me in. And she went from a fucking 6 to a 9. You know, that's just how that goes. So the skill, this episode, as Hans Zimmer comes in, it's a short one tonight, ladies and gentlemen, but I had to get that out there because I went back and a lady friend was reading my script, and she quoted the skill system, and I had explained that to her, and that made me go back into T-Blog and go into the archives, the vaults, the bookshelves of T-Blog.com, and I wanted to come here and share that on the podcast. Here, running solo myself. I want to get that out there as Han is wrapping up the podcast today. So, where to find me on Instagram, the_T_podcast for all the podcast-related stuff. T-Blog, all one word, for some amazing pics. Speaking of my travels, you want to go there and take a look, DM me, say, hey, you got that picture of the CN River from atop of the Eiffel Tower on the summit on a sunny afternoon. I sure do. I don't have the picture of the Sistine Chapel because the Mario's and Luigi security guards made me delete that shit. So I don't have that, but I have the memory with my mom in there. That funny story I still share with people when I got her banned from the Vatican, as I tell everyone. And I know what it smells like in that Sistine Chapel. So I got my Goodwill Hunting moment. Hopefully I get a few more of that out there as I travel or just live my life and do my thing. And just like Will met Skylar, I'm hoping that I get to meet my Skylar as well and able to share those stories. So Twitter, all one word, T-Blog, and also the T-Blog Facebook page. And of course, you can reach me by email, t@t-blog.com. And to find me here, where else to find me? Here, every Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday now. That's how we do it on the podcast. And the place that started it all, you heard me earlier, the bank, the vault, all my thoughts, all my successes, all my failures, all my opinions, all my philosophies, all my blueprints, all my guides, volume after volume, tblog.com. That's the show, everyone. And now we close it out every single time, just like I did on T-Blog. Until next time, always take it there.